Welcome to the Satellite Evolution Global podcast series, where we explore all things satellite. In this episode, we will take a deep dive into how Starlink shines in Europe as constellation investments boost performance. Let's get on with it. So over to you, Hannah and Robert.
Welcome back, everybody. Today, we're going to be diving into the world of Starlink.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, its performance in Europe.
Cool.
Yeah, we've got a fantastic report from Ookla.
Yep.
The masterminds behind speedtest.net,
mm-hmm.
and it's titled Starlink Shines in Europe as Constellation Investments Boost Performance.
Interesting.
And you know, you want to know.
Yeah.
If Starlink is giving traditional broadband a run for its money over there.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Rightfully.
Well, let's break it down.
Okay.
For those who need a quick refresher, Starlink is SpaceX's ambitious project to provide high-speed internet access from space using a constellation of low-Earth orbit satellites.
Yeah, it's intriguing to see how they're carving out a space for themselves, even in a region like Europe,
right,
where terrestrial broadband is generally pretty strong.
Yeah.
Ookla's data shows that SpaceX is making some strategic moves to boost Starlink's competitiveness.
Okay.
Especially regarding performance.
All right, let's unpack that.
Sure.
The report dives into latency first, which we all know is critical for things like gaming and video calls.
For sure.
And it seems Starlink has made some impressive gains in Europe.
Absolutely. One of the biggest drawbacks of traditional satellite internet was always the lag.
Right.
But Starlink, by using a network of low Earth orbit satellites and a dense network of ground stations,
mm-hmm.
they're changing the game.
Okay.
They've dramatically reduced the time it takes for data to travel back and forth.
Okay, so how much faster are we talking?
Yeah.
Give us some specifics.
Well, the report highlights some pretty incredible examples.
Okay.
In countries like the UK, Belgium, and Luxembourg, Starlink's latency is now averaging around 40 milliseconds.
Wow.
So to put that in perspective, imagine you're playing an online game in Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Before Starlink, that lag would make it nearly impossible to compete.
Yeah.
Now, with latency that low, you're practically on par with someone using fiber optic broadband.
Wow, a level playing field with fiber?
Yeah.
That's a game changer.
It is.
But isn't launching all of these satellites incredibly expensive?
Wow.
Could this aggressive approach backfire for SpaceX if they don't get enough subscribers?
That's a valid concern.
Yeah.
It's no secret that deploying and maintaining a satellite constellation like this requires a massive investment.
Right.
But SpaceX seems confident in its strategy.
Okay.
And the data suggests it might be paying off.
Okay.
Starlink's latency is improving at twice the rate of fixed broadband in most European countries.
Okay, so they're not just keeping up.
Yeah.
They're exceeding the pace of improvement in the fixed broadband market.
Yes.
That's a bold statement.
It is.
I'm guessing this all ties back to SpaceX's strategy of launching more satellites and building out those ground stations.
Precisely. By increasing satellite density, they're creating more direct data paths.
Okay.
This reduces the reliance on longer, less efficient connections.
Yeah.
And we see this most prominently in Western Europe, where Starlink's latency performance is the strongest.
But Europe's a diverse continent.
Yeah.
I imagine there are still regional differences in latency.
You're absolutely right. The report points out some interesting discrepancies.
Okay.
For example, latency is still a challenge in places like Cyprus and Malta,
mm-hmm.
probably because of a limited number of ground stations in those areas.
I see.
So picture this. You're trying to have a video call with your family from a sun-drenched beach in Cyprus.
Okay.
But because of the limited ground station infrastructure, you're stuck dealing with frustrating lag.
It's a harsh reminder that even with cutting-edge technology like Starlink geography, still plays a role.
It certainly does. And here's another fascinating geographical nuance.
Okay.
While the Nordic countries are often leaders in terrestrial broadband speeds, their Starlink latency is comparatively higher.
Oh, interesting.
This could be because Starlink relies more on polar orbiting satellites to cover these regions.
Okay.
So the signals have to travel longer distances, which can impact performance.
Yeah.
Think of it like taking a scenic route versus a direct flight.
Mm.
The scenic route might be beautiful, but it takes longer to reach your destination.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So even with regional variations, it sounds like Starlink is shaking things up in Europe.
Yeah.
At least when it comes to latency.
Uh-huh.
But what about download speeds?
Yeah.
Weren't there concerns about speeds declining as more people started using Starlink?
There were. As Starlink scaled up and more users came online, download speeds did take a hit in many European countries.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those must have been some anxious times for early adopters.
Yeah.
I can imagine seeing your download speeds drop and wondering if you made the right choice.
It's understandable that people would be concerned.
Yeah.
But the good news is that those speeds are starting to rebound in most places.
Okay.
And there's a clear connection between this recovery and SpaceX's ramped-up satellite launches in late 2024.
So more satellites in orbit translate to faster download speeds.
Yeah.
Seems pretty straightforward.
On the surface, yes.
Okay.
But it's actually a testament to SpaceX's commitment to continuous improvement.
Yeah.
They recognized the issue, invested in expanding their constellation, and now users are reaping the benefits. The report specifically highlights Croatia and Greece as examples of countries with dramatic download speed improvements.
Okay.
We're talking about a 70% increase in Croatia and a 65% jump in Greece.
Hold on, a 70% speed increase?
Yeah.
That means people who could barely stream a video before
Right.
can now participate in video calls without a hitch.
Exactly.
That's life-changing.
It is.
But even with these improvements, I'm guessing Starlink still faces some tough competition,
Sure.
especially in areas with well-established broadband infrastructure.
Of course, in places with extensive fiber optic networks,
Yeah.
Starlink might not be the top choice for everyone.
Right.
But there are other areas where Starlink is shining.
Okay.
The report dives into how Starlink's adoption rates vary across different parts of Europe.
Okay.
And the trends are fascinating.
You're talking about that map in the report, right?
Yeah. The one that showed how Starlink's popularity is concentrated in certain areas.
Exactly. And when we connect this map to the bigger picture of broadband infrastructure in Europe, it reveals a lot about the factors driving Starlink's success.
What?
For example, in highly urbanized regions with robust fiber coverage, like the Nordic countries and the Benelux region, Starlink adoption is relatively low.
Makes perfect sense if you already have access to super fast fiber.
Right.
Why would you bother with satellite internet?
Right. Plus, as we discussed earlier, Starlink's performance, especially latency, can be a bit less consistent at higher latitudes.
Yeah.
And that's where many of those Nordic countries are located.
Right.
Yeah.
But then the report pointed to Southeastern Europe as a hotspot for Starlink adoption.
Yes.
What's driving that trend?
It boils down to the broadband landscape in those countries.
Okay.
Southeastern Europe in general has lower fiber penetration and a larger proportion of its population living in rural areas. This makes Starlink an incredibly attractive option, especially since it's often faster than the other fixed broadband solutions available in those regions.
So in those areas, Starlink is stepping in and filling a critical gap,
Yeah.
providing high-speed internet access to communities that have been overlooked by traditional providers.
Yeah.
It's almost like a digital lifeline.
I think that's a powerful way to put it.
Yeah.
Starlink is helping to level the playing field,
Right.
ensuring that people in more remote or underserved areas have access to the same connectivity that's taken for granted in major urban centers.
What about Central and Western Europe?
Yeah.
I remember the report placed Starlink adoption somewhere in between Southeastern Europe and the Nordics.
That's right. And that makes sense when you consider the mixed broadband landscape in those regions.
Okay.
Some areas have fantastic fiber coverage while others are lagging behind.
Yeah.
Starlink is finding its niche in those areas where fiber hasn't fully reached,
Okay.
offering a competitive alternative to traditional broadband.
So it's not just about replacing existing broadband infrastructure.
Right.
It's about complementing it,
Yeah.
providing options where options are limited.
Precisely. And speaking of options, the report had some interesting things to say about Germany.
Yeah, they jumped out at me too. What's
Yeah.
behind that trend?
Well,
Germans are known for their love of technology,
yeah.
but they're also pretty discerning consumers.
That's true. And to understand this phenomenon, we need to look at Germany's broadband situation.
Okay.
Despite being a leading economic power, Germany has one of the lowest fiber coverage rates in the EU.
Wow.
And on top of that, their broadband prices tend to be higher than in many other European countries.
So basically, they're stuck between a rock and a hard
Yeah.
place. They need reliable internet access, but the existing options are either too expensive or simply not up to par.
Exactly. In this context, Starlink, even with its slightly slower download speeds in Germany, becomes a compelling choice.
Okay.
It's seen as a good value proposition compared to the limited and often pricey alternatives.
It's like they're choosing the least bad option.
Yeah.
Starlink might not be perfect, but it's a significant improvement over what they've been dealing with.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And this highlights another key aspect of Starlink's strategy.
Okay.
They're not just competing on speed, they're also focusing on affordability and accessibility,
Right.
targeting areas where traditional broadband options are either too expensive or simply not available.
It's a smart strategy, especially when you consider the increasing demand for high-speed internet access across all parts of Europe.
Yeah.
But I'm also curious about those cases where Starlink adoption doesn't seem to fit the typical patterns.
Okay.
The report mentioned London as an
Ah,
example.
yes. London presents a unique case study because it's relatively high. Starlink usage doesn't quite align with the trends we've been discussing.
Right.
After all, London is a major metropolitan hub with decent broadband infrastructure.
Right.
You'd think they'd be less inclined to embrace satellite internet.
Right. So what's going on there?
Yeah.
Why are Londoners turning to Starlink?
Well, it seems that some of Starlink's popularity in London is driven by specific use cases that go beyond the typical home broadband setup.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about these unique applications.
Sure.
What are people in London using Starlink for?
The report suggests that Starlink is being utilized in a variety of ways,
Okay.
such as providing internet connectivity for events,
Hmm.
supporting card terminals and businesses,
Okay.
and other scenarios where a reliable high-speed internet connection is crucial but might not be readily available through traditional
So
means.
it's not just about replacing own broadband.
Right.
It's about serving as a backup or a supplementary internet solution in specific situations.
Exactly. And this speaks to the adaptability and versatility of Starlink's technology.
Okay.
It's not a one-size-fits-all solution.
Yeah.
It can be tailored and deployed in a multitude of ways to meet specific demands.
It's like Starlink is becoming the Swiss Army knife
Yeah.
of internet connectivity, able to handle a wide range of tasks and challenges.
Right.
But let's zoom out for a minute and consider the bigger picture.
Okay.
What does Starlink's success in Europe tell us about the future of satellite internet as a whole?
That's a great question. I think Starlink's story in Europe offers some compelling insights into how internet connectivity is evolving.
Okay.
First and foremost, it demonstrates that satellite internet is no longer a niche technology,
Right.
relegated to remote or hard-to-reach areas. It's becoming a mainstream alternative,
Okay.
capable of competing with traditional broadband providers in a growing number of markets.
So we're moving beyond the idea of satellite internet being just a last resort
Yeah.
for people in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
It's becoming a viable option for urban and suburban dwellers as well.
Exactly. And this shift is being fueled by a number of factors.
Okay.
One is the incredible advancements in satellite technology.
Hmm.
Low Earth orbit constellations like Starlink deliver significantly better performance than older satellite systems
Okay.
with lower latency and higher speeds.
Yeah.
This makes them a far more attractive choice for a broader range of users and applications.
And it seems like SpaceX's aggressive investment strategy is playing a significant role as well.
Oh, absolutely.
They're launching new satellites at an incredible pace, constantly expanding their constellation
Yeah.
and improving coverage and capacity.
Absolutely. SpaceX's commitment to innovation and rapid deployment is a major reason why Starlink is ahead of the curve in many ways.
Okay.
They're not afraid to take risks and challenge conventional thinking about what's possible with satellite internet.
But as we discussed earlier, they're not the only players in the game anymore.
Right.
Companies like Amazon and AST SpaceMobile are entering the market with ambitious plans of their own. What does this increased competition mean for the future of satellite internet?
I think it's great news for consumers.
Okay.
More competition typically leads to more choices, lower prices, and faster innovation
Right.
as these companies battle for market share. We're likely to see a rapid evolution in satellite internet technology, with each provider striving to offer the best possible service at the most competitive price.
So, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah.
Everyone benefits from this push for better, more affordable satellite internet.
Yes, ultimately, it's the users who stand to gain the most.
Right.
They'll have access to faster, more reliable, and more affordable internet connectivity, no
Yeah.
matter where they live.
That all sounds very optimistic. But are there any potential downsides to this rapid growth and adoption of satellite internet? What are the risks or challenges we should be aware of?
That's an important question. One concern is the issue of space debris.
Okay.
As more and more satellites are launched into orbit, the risk of collisions and the creation of space junk increases.
Right.
This debris could pose a threat to other satellites, including those crucial for things like GPS and weather forecasting.
That's a sobering thought. It's critical to ensure that the expansion of satellite internet is managed responsibly to minimize any negative environmental impact.
Absolutely, and there are other challenges to consider as well.
Okay.
These include ensuring equitable access to satellite internet services, addressing potential cybersecurity concerns, and navigating the complex regulatory landscape governing satellite operations.
So while the future of satellite internet holds immense promise, we need to proceed thoughtfully and address these challenges head-on.
I wholeheartedly agree. It's crucial to balance the excitement of innovation with a realistic assessment of the risks and a strong commitment to responsible development.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive into the world of satellite internet, particularly Starlink's impact on the European market.
Yeah.
We've explored the technological advancements driving its success, the regional variations in adoption, and the broader implications for the future of internet connectivity as we wrap up. What's the one key takeaway you'd like our listeners to ponder?
I think the most important takeaway is the satellite internet is rapidly transforming the way we connect to the world.
Okay.
It's no longer a technology of the distant future. It's here and now. Evolving at an incredible pace, it has the power to bridge the digital divide, empower communities, and unlock a wealth of new possibilities. Stay curious, stay informed, and keep looking up.
Excellent advice. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the exciting world of satellite internet. Until next time, keep those brains buzzing.
That is all for this episode. Until next time, stay connected.